T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Haven't really begun. I don't think the three of us have shared airtime yet today, so let's see if this works this time around. Hello, Ray Ratto.
I was liking it better when I couldn't be heard.
Hello, Matt Kolsky.
Hello.
God, I love it when a plan comes together.
Hey!
I love when technology... I mean, what does the Bay Area know about technology after all, right? We're not the innovators. I mean, specifically the three of us are not the innovators. We rely on everyone else around here to know what they're doing. And how about this? Yeah, exactly. So we've been doing a four for the 49ers. I thought, you know, just an interesting way to kick around four final thoughts over the course of our four-hour Friday show before a big football game. Very phonetic. It worked on a lot of levels, except we had no production for it, which means it's not an official segment. What if I told you, gentlemen, today is the day. You got a little hair on your plums. We got a segment. Here we go. Let me hear the production.
It's the 4 for 49ers.
He checked all the boxes. You know I love you, David.
The four biggest questions for the 49ers going into this week's game.
Cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it.
I don't know the facts.
Question one.
Wow. So wait, it says question one, which dares to suggest we got three more of these coming up? Wow. Let me tell you about major market radio, kids. Find it. Be a part of it. It's exciting.
Thrilling.
Hey, you know, take the thrills where you can find them. All right, so this week, Matt, I know that you crafted the four questions. Ray and I have not been given the debate prep beforehand, so let's do it.
Okay. Who, and we've talked about this a lot, so I'm burning it with the first question.
Okay.
Who should and should, not will, but should, lead 49ers running backs in touches on Sunday?
So that includes catches.
Correct.
Just hands on the ball.
Yes.
Here's the thing. What I want and what I think are two totally different things. I'd like to see Jamichael Hasty get 12 to 15 touches, runs and catches. I still think Mostert's going to be the – or not Mostert, but – McKinnon is going to be the first in line for that, which would make me want to see Hasty second in line for that, with Wilson being an option on we're running short yardage goal line situations. I think he's best built for that. I think it's going to be McKinnon, Hasty, Wilson with 15, 16 touches to McKinnon.
I think that's about right, and I think that's what it ought to be. Because I don't think we know nearly enough about Hasty to know if he can do this. And I don't know that Kyle Shanahan is a guy who wants to take a chance at this point in New England against that guy. So I think Damon is on it. I think it's going to be more McKinnon than anybody else, but it's going to be so varied that it won't seem like this is McKinnon's game. Because I don't think he views the running game that way. So mathematically, it will be McKinnon, but I think Shanahan will want it to feel like it's everybody.
I think it should be Hasty. And I think you guys may be right. It may end up being McKinnon. But I think it should be Hasty. Because if I'm going to hand off to a guy a lot, and I think they would like to hand off to a guy a lot on Sunday, I would prefer it be Hasty than McKinnon, because I just think Hasty has more juice running the ball out of the backfield than Jerick McKinnon does.
You know, I remember saying this about Buster Posey and Benji Molina when their careers were kind of crossing paths back in the day. The saying was, I'd rather see what Buster Posey has than what Molina's got left. And I didn't mean that as an insult. And I'm certainly not saying that Jarrett McKinnon is at the, all right, let's see what you have left portion of his career. As a matter of fact, in many, many ways, he is restarting the second chapter of his career after dealing with 2 years of injuries. And I'm rooting for the guy, and I like him, but I do not think if we were handing out first-day nicknames, he'd get that name Jet anymore. I'd rather see Hasty show us the unknown before I get what I think is a not nearly as fast as he used to be, as crisp as he used to be, McKinnon. And who he used to be, I'm not even that familiar with because, again, that was happening in Minnesota. We saw a very little of him before he was hand-selected to come out here and be the savior of all things backfield creative.
Yeah, I don't even think it's that he's not the Jet anymore. I think it's that he was never well cast as a every-down running back. And not that there's going to be an every-down running back in this game, but if we're talking first two downs, threat to run between the tackles, I just don't think Jarek McKinnon does that for you. And in the limited amount we saw him, I think Jamichael Hasty did. Now, Ray makes the point, and he's certainly right, that Kyle may not want to learn about his own roster live on the field in Foxborough. And I think that's probably right. I'm just saying I would want to learn about my roster live on the field. And that's why I think I would give Hasty more action.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it fear of the unknown. I'd have some curiosity in the unknown.
Exactly.
Well, let me put it this way. If he carries the ball 12 times, I think Kyle Shanahan gets a better sense of what he is. Because I don't think that he has to be the leading gatherer of touches. I think Kyle Shanahan doesn't view his running game that way. I think he talks about number of times that they run the ball or have run-like pass plays. And I think that's how he gauges it. Because other than that one playoff game when Mostert went for 200-plus, he's never put the ball in one guy's hands that many times.
But
I
would
he
say
he likes to do it.
So far this year, though, Ray, he has clearly put the ball in Mostert's hands far more than the other two when Mostert's been available. So that's what I'm talking about. I don't know what the number ends up being. It depends how many times they run the ball or throw it to the running backs in general. But if we're talking like share of the carries, Mostert has gotten the lion's share by far when he's been healthy. And I think how he views the running game is tied to who's there. I'm just saying, for my money, I'd rather see Hasty get the bulk.
Before we go back to Ray, Kyle Shanahan was talking about carries in his backfield and what he was looking at practice this week. Here's Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, that has an effect on all running backs, and especially a guy who had those 2 years off. I would think it would affect him more. So we didn't do a good job of managing that in the Philly game. You know, Jet's up for anything and stuff, but we got to do a better job of managing that and try to keep them all as fresh as possible. The more guys get banged up, the harder that is to do. So hopefully Jeff Wilson will come back healthy this week, and hopefully we'll get three fresh guys, but we'll see how the week of practice goes.
All right, so fresh guys. He was talking about McKinnon having too much of a workload the other week, I guess. But look, I really think, and pardon me if I'm starting to repeat myself from earlier in the week, Bill Belichick, you got to beat him with the other guys, not the guys that you expect to go and beat anybody with. And we're all kind of expecting George Kittle, Jamichael Hasty, and Deebo Samuel to kind of carry the team to victory this weekend, obviously with Jimmy making the right choices. So that means it's got to be Ross Dwelly, Kyle Juszczyk, Kendrick Bourne, Brandon Ayuk, Jamichael Hasty. That's how I think you win this game, with the guys that Bill Belichick is not looking for. You know, he's game planning around, but the focus of his game plan isn't take Ross Dwelly away, isn't let's get Jamichael Hasty uncomfortable. He didn't say that once in practice this week. So I just think that is a good opportunity to maybe catch the Patriots looking in the other direction.
Yeah, I don't know that Belichick worries about player X or player Y unless they're an extraordinary player. I think he wants to take away things that coaches like to do, which is running the ball, which is, you know, I think he views this more as a macro game. I think he views most games as macro games. I'm not going to let you do X. I mean, if it's Tennessee, then the obvious answer is I'm going to try to take Derrick Henry away from you. But I think for a team like the 49ers in their current state, it's not about I need to take player X. I think he wants to take away method of running plays away.
Not
and
George
it's either
Kittle?
Run. What?
Not George Kittle?
I think he would rather take his chances with Jimmy Garoppolo throwing the ball than running the ball. And if that means Kittle, you know, has a big day, then Kittle has a big day.
Yeah.
You know, because that stat I cited the other day where they're 19-4 when they run the ball 30 times or more, and they're like 9-24 when they don't. I mean, I think the 49ers have established what they are, which means that I think Kyle Shanahan's got to be more creative on how he does the thing he does best. And that's where I think this game's going to be decided one way or another. I could be wrong, but what the hell? I filled time.
It's going to be a very, very interesting chess matchup between two head coaches. It's been an interesting week for the Las Vegas Raiders, having Trent Brown go on COVID and then that wiping out basically the entire offensive line all week long. They got 7-on-7 drills to practice for an NFL game that has been moved out of a Sunday night slot to earlier in the day. And, oh, by the way, Tom Brady and Tampa coming to town. It is no small task. To talk about it, boy, we got a good friend out in the desert who knows all about it. You know him very well from here in the Bay Area. Joining Damon Ratto and Kolsky on the Bay Area Chevy Dealers guest line, our old friend JT the Brick here on 95.7 The Game. How are you, pal?
I am great, Damon. Hello to everyone. Thanks for having me on from sunny Las Vegas. How are you?
Doing very, very well. Do us a favor and dip your feet in the pool to your ankles so you can stay nice and cool, because we don't quite have that weather out here, not yet anyways. What a crazy week for the Raiders. Since moving to Las Vegas, it feels like this might have been the most just stuff thrown at this team in any week we've played football. What has it been?
Yeah, it's been a week that's been upside down for a lot of different reasons. And remember, the Raiders are playing well. They're coming off their biggest franchise win in a long time. That win at Kansas City was epic. Nobody had that. I know no one in the hallways of 95-7 The Game had the Raiders winning at Kansas City, and they were impressive. And they beat Drew Brees on Monday Night Football, and they have this unbelievable opportunity against Tom Brady on Sunday Night Football, and now that game's been ripped because Trent Brown went on COVID-19 reserve. And then because Trent Brown was around players and the tracking system knows that some people are closer than others, it really hurt the team because now players haven't been able to practice this week. The good news is that these aren't injured players. These are healthy players coming off the bye week. So it's not going to kill them. They know what to do. They know their assignments, but they're playing the best defense in all of football, coming off one of the most incredible wins of the season as Tampa Bay buried, and I mean buried, Aaron Rodgers last weekend.
Do the Raiders look at Tampa and say, we can still throw on anybody, or is John Gruden going to try to misdirect and try to do things that we haven't seen him do offensively? I mean, is this game going to be decided with the Raiders putting the ball in the air a ton of times and putting it deep?
Well, Ray, that's a great question because Gruden finally has, even though we're not sure, I'm pretty sure the offensive line's going to play because they're not testing positive. They're testing negative every day. So that should get them on the field. But John Gruden's never had an offense like this dating back to when he left the Raiders to go to Tampa. And he's got every weapon that he needs other than Richie Incognito and Trent Brown with Josh Jacobs, Henry Ruggs III, Hunter Renfro, Darren Waller. Imagine if they had Tyrell Williams, who was going to be their number two receiver. Nelson Aguilar has stepped up and played at a really high level. So he's got everything he needs. And it's a good question because this could be a game with the screen game. Tampa Bay is attacking so vigorously with these linebackers that Carr might have to dump it off to Josh Jacobs, and I'd like to see more of that anyway. And now that Ruggs is going to be double-teamed over the top, there isn't an excuse for here on out, whenever Ruggs and Waller are on the field at the same time, Waller should not be double teamed, and he should get 10 to 12 targets a game, and he should be able to do that against Tampa Bay. I'm optimistic Carr's going to keep it rolling and have another big game.
So most of those guys you just talked about were on the team last year. The big addition, obviously, is the rookie Ruggs. And are you surprised that just the addition of this one player, granted his effect can be huge, it seems to have almost changed who this team is offensively entirely?
Yeah, and a lot of that has to do with Waller, too, because Waller's just coming into his own. I mean, he's got basketball power forward skills at this position, great hands, he's fast, and I don't consider Waller a tight end. I want Gruden to line him up more in the slot and as a wide receiver because he can put up those numbers, but there was a reason why the Raiders took Ruggs before Jerry Jeudy and CeeDee Lamb. They needed a player to match up with Tyreek Hill from Kansas City. And what the Raiders have been trying to do after they deconstructed that Jack Del Rio team with Reggie McKenzie that was really good, won 12 games in 2016, is all they wanted to do, guys, is build the team that Gruden wanted with Mayock's guys. It was no knock on the other GM or the players before. They just wanted their own guys, and they're guys who could do more unique things that Mayock and Gruden want to see going forward, and they have that now. The biggest problem for the Raiders is they're a year away on defense. Mayock needs one more draft, one more year of free agency, and they'll be really good because their cornerstone guys are young, like Cleveland Farrell, Max Crosby, Jonathan Abram. Mullen's unbelievable, I think, at the corner position. He's going to be really a good player. But in the meantime, they got to embrace the shootout. How long has it taken for this team to understand now that they can compete and win in a shootout against Drew Brees and Patrick Mahomes? And we're not even at the midway point of the season. So now going up against Brady, I don't know who's playing. I don't know how ready they are, but at least they have a quarterback, a wide receiver, a tight end, and a running back. Those four players, Ruggs, Waller, Carr, and Jacobs, who I think can compete against any four power players in the league.
You can hear him in Las Vegas. You can hear him on Raider Game Day. You can hear him on Mad Dog Sports Radio. It's good to hear him again on 95.7 The Game, our pal JT the Brick. So, Derek Carr, it was always a question of, is there enough talent around him? Does he have the confidence? Does Gruden believe? It looks like all the boxes are starting to get checked this year. To what do you attribute it so clicking with Carr finally?
Third year in the system, maybe Carr realized that this could be it because Gruden, no doubt, and every coach in this league and GM wants the next Kyler Murray, the next Lamar Jackson, the next Patrick Mahomes. And even though Carr has been to Pro Bowls and is a very good player, can he take the team to the next level? And Damon, his work ethic in the off season during COVID, taking this team to the park responsibly and working out. He worked out more than any quarterback in the NFL, fact not fiction, and he got these guys up to speed, even with Jason Witten coming in as a veteran. So they did a lot of work in the off season, and Carr was ready to go. He's completely healthy and fit. He's going to run more. He's got Gruden barking in his ear. I mean, how would you like to play for John Gruden? Ask Rich Gannon. I know you've talked to him over the years. Gruden is demanding, and Carr is one of the few guys that can handle the pressures of being a quarterback in this system, and I just think it's coming to him a little bit easier this year. And I always thought that he was the franchise quarterback of this team, and this will be a big test for him because what a shame it would be if the Raiders lost multiple guys heading into Sunday. And this was a huge night for Las Vegas. All you guys have been to Vegas, and you've all had great times in Vegas. This was going to be a three-hour postcard all around the country to Las Vegas as the sun was setting in the Death Star of Allegiant Stadium, opening up the parasol windows and seeing the strip behind the stadium, and poof, it's gone because one player tested positive for COVID. And it really screwed everything up, but we're hoping that Big Trent stays healthy. We're not into COVID shaming anyone, and hopefully he comes back because the Raiders are going to need him the second half when that schedule gets a little bit easier.
I know before the season started, Mark Davis was adamant that there would be no fans in the stadium at any point this year. Has he either behind the scenes or publicly decided maybe he might rethink that as the year goes on if the numbers in Vegas get low?
Absolutely not, from what I know, Ray. And it could change if the Raiders make the playoffs. But why it worked for Mark Davis is you cannot open up Las Vegas at 14,000 at 20% capacity. It would have been embarrassing. It would have been embarrassing to see this stadium open up with 20,000 fans and all those empty seats, considering all the money that was spent. This place is sold out. Every suite, every seat is sold out. So I thought Mark going there first and saying that and taking that topic off the table was really smart. And considering a lot of people think of that second wave coming, we look at the COVID numbers today, not to be political, I don't see any scenario where there's going to be fans in the stands, and I support it that way because it's like a big show, a concert in Vegas. Everything we do in Vegas has always been big, and you can't do it anywhere other than big with this beautiful new stadium. So, you know, if the Raiders make it to the playoffs and they get a home game, which is tough with Kansas City in that division, hopefully maybe something could change, but I don't sense it's going to happen.
The whole point is there's nothing political going on. It's science, it's safety. Make good choices. Mark Davis has made a good choice. The only sports fight you and I have ever had for real in our lives was the Raiders moving from Oakland to Vegas. It's all water under the bridge now. It has happened. It is unfortunate that that stadium hasn't been able to greet one fan yet because just from what I've seen, it is freaking spectacular. It does look like something else from the inside, from the outside. I love the way that they like LED lit up the eternal flame. I saw you giving a little tour of where your seats are going to be. Tell us about that place, man. I know it kind of hurts Oakland to hear it, but how nice of a building is it?
Well, before we get to that, and again, you know, I made my bones in the Bay Area on radio and got my start there and never wanted to leave Oakland. Remember, as you know, I've been commuting on game day for 17 years from Vegas and Los Angeles up to Oakland, and the best experiences of my career have been in the Oakland Coliseum. They just hit a home run with this place. L.A.'s bigger, but L.A.'s in Inglewood. I don't know about you guys, but I'm not interested in going to Inglewood for a steak or a football game or a night out. Everybody wants to come to Vegas. You're going to see Final Fours. You're going to see Super Bowls. You're going to see everything you can imagine from the Rolling Stones and Garth Brooks to the biggest events of your lives. And I would recommend everybody in the Bay Area because this topic has really changed. There's a lot of Oakland fans that now are seeing this and getting now what the Raiders are going to have in the future with this new stadium and their new facility, which is incredible. And they'll make the football team better, but it's a shame they left Oakland because those Oakland fans are the best. They're the cornerstone of this franchise in Oakland, L.A., and now Vegas. And everybody seems to be on the same page. Mark Davis wants to win. Gruden's an animal in wanting to win. And they got a good team. They're only a few years away if things start to click for this team, and it'll happen at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas.
Hey, it was good to talk to you today. It had been too long, and we wanted to catch up on the Raiders after such an interesting week with so many different hurdles to clear, getting ready, having a game moved, and, oh, it's Tom Brady and the Buccaneers coming to town. The other reason why I wanted to have you on, and I put out something on social media, I haven't said anything on the air today, but today is my 15-year on-air anniversary. And I bring it up with you and you only because you have been as much of a part, as big of a part, not just as a friend, but as a mentor in this unforgiving, unloving industry that is radio. You're one of the kindest, most generous people that I've ever had the pleasure to cross paths with. And a big reason why I'm on the radio today is because I met you about 15 years ago. So thank you for everything you've ever done for me, man. You know I love you. Take care. And it was great talking to you.
Hey, that is a really nice compliment. Thanks for having me on. I miss everybody up there. I'm a great guy. If you get to know me, just ask Kawakami. He'll even tell you that. Have a great weekend, everybody.
There he is. JT the Brick here on 95.7 The Game. He is a great guy if you get to know him.
Did you just blame him for you?
It's partly his fault. It's partly his fault. One of the first gigs I ever had was producing his Raider postgame show from the Coliseum. It's almost how I got my start across the street 15 years ago. But that was almost 20 years ago. Today is my 15-year anniversary of hosting my first show as a full-time host in San Francisco. And I guess in radio, like that's like dog years. It's like 35 years in any other industry.
Yeah, that's a long time in radio, man. Congrats.
Thank you very much. Look, I have been very, very lucky. I've been given an incredible opportunity. I hope I have capitalized on that opportunity. And the things that I've gotten to cover since I've been out here have made this such a fun and special, special run. I counted it up today. Over the last 15 years, 5 NBA Finals, 3 Giants World Series, plus getting to know the people that allowed me to go chase the Cubs in 2016. That was just for me. That wasn't for you. 4 NFC title games, 2 Super Bowls, both losses. Sorry, I didn't fumble a ball. Stanley Cup Finals, also a loss. But not bad, man. I mean, me in this market might not be hanging banners, but we're at least getting to the championship. And that's where it all starts. You can't win a championship without being in the damn game in the first place. Thanks to everyone who's been a part of it. Thanks to the both of you. Thanks to all the producers. Everyone that I've ever worked with. It's meant an awful lot, but we got no more time for back patting and hey, how? No. It's a huge sports weekend, and we're going to keep our SPM, our sports per minute, through the roof. Oy, oy, oy. Damon Ratto and Kolsky here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, if you're ever around one of those, Alexa things, you can just say, play 95.7 The Game, and she will. That's powered by Dell Technologies. Call 877-ASK-DELL. Damon Ratto and Kolsky, 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Fremont Bank, full-service banking, no compromises.
Hey, fellow citizens, do you have a plan for how you're going to vote? You should. You can vote in person or by mail. Go to vote411.org to find out rules and deadlines for your state. We all have a voice and a vote to cast. Vote. Make it count. Go to vote411.org.
Tonight and every Friday, Lorenzo Neal joins Sean Salisbury for the entire football hour from 6 to 7.
Man, I'm going to stay pretty in the face and slim in the waist and still go out there and play at a high level.
That set's got to dangle down to his ankles. They got to drop.
Hear Lo Neal on the football hour every Friday from 6 to 7 on 95.7 The Game.
See it online before you try it on her hand. Hi, this is Ronnie Heller, president of Barron's, the Bay Area's largest bridal jewelry store in Dublin. At barronsjewelers.com, view our largest selection of bridal jewelry ever. Nearly 4,000 rings. Go online, choose designers and styles, but come into Barron's because what really matters is how the ring looks on her hand. Go to barronsjewelers.com, then visit the all-new Barron's in Dublin in the Hacienda Crossings. Barron's, a legacy of elegance.
2020 presidential race is upon us. The stakes couldn't be higher, and the outcome might not be clear till long after everyone has voted. Many are predicting a repeat, or worse, of the 2000 election. That year, the presidency came down to a polarizing recount in Florida that ended at the U.S. Supreme Court.
We were faced with an attempted soft coup.
Listen to Fiasco, a Luminary original from the team that brought you Slow Burn. Available now for free on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Jack in the Box, I'm serving my $5.99 chili cheeseburger combo. And you know what they say? Beauty is in the eye of the chili cheese holder.
Don't you mean beauty is in the eye of the bee holder?
Why would you want to hold bees? Only at Jack in the Box. Limited time only, plus tax. Price and participation may vary. Small fries and small drink.
Donate your car to Cars for Kids. Call 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS today. Or go to carsforkids.com to schedule a contact-free pickup from the comfort of your home. Make a difference in the life of a child and donate today. Cars for Kids also accepts boats, motorcycles, RVs, and real estate donations.
It's big. Really big. The Lazy Boy biggest event of the season. Save 20% on a wide selection of great-looking furniture. Also take advantage of 36-month interest-free financing. Get big-time comfort at small prices. Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Live life comfortably.
Now at Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill, a GE profile kitchen is more affordable than ever. For a limited time, you'll save up to $2,000 on select GE profile appliances via online or mail-in rebate. Visit Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill or at friedmansappliance.com.
Why so serious? So raise your glass if you are wrong in all the right ways.
Spilled your drink? Quick, the quicker picker-upper. Bounty picks up spills and messes quicker. And each sheet is 2 times more absorbent, so you can use less than the leading value brand. So you can get back to the party. Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
I'm Nora O'Donnell in Washington, D.C.
This is the moment.
The role of a journalist is to open the window into another world of experience. I feel an incredible responsibility. We have to make sure that we're right, that we're fair, but also bring Americans a greater understanding and hopefully bring Americans closer together. That's why I wanted to become a journalist.
The CBS Evening News with Nora O'Donnell. Weeknights on CBS.
This is the moment.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
So we've been talking football since we hit the air, and rightfully so. There's so much going on. We'll have much more football coming up today. I can promise you all that. We've got Brian Baldinger a little bit later on. Christian Fourier, as we check in on what makes the Bill Belichick New England Patriots click, no matter who's there. I mean, and they're doing it with bare bones these years. We got an awful lot coming up this afternoon, but we got a few of the things that we haven't been able to get to really all week long. And one of those things is the World Series. I mean, we've talked about it a little. Game three begins tonight.
Charlie Damon,
Morton. Yes.
Before we get to the World Series, you mentioned it was your 15th Bay Area radio anniversary. I believe we may have a special celebratory guest. Is that, I think the studio is one, signaling to me.
Yeah, Damon, I know you didn't want to do anything special for this, but there's one person that kind of can embody what you mean to the Bay Area radio scene. So here's Joe the Butcher Boy Shasky, real quick.
The great Damon Bruce. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I just, where would the landscape of Bay Area radio be without your contributions? You came here in 2005. You've been on both stations. You're the only guy that I know who has done Warrior, Giants, and 49er pre and post games. You have been on both stations. You've been on pretty much every single clock. I remember calling into you when you're doing the Mike Dunleavy, Troy Murphy era Warriors, telling me this is not basketball. Indiana basketball would blow away this team. This is not good basketball. From the We Believe Warriors to the god-awful Giants trying to squeeze a couple of ounces out of the Barry Bonds era at the end, to the championships, to the rise and fall of the 49ers, to the rise again. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. As a Bay Area native, as somebody who is the son of the city, you are one of us. 15 years is an incredible amount of time. We know some of the other names that have been here and put down what is Bay Area sports talk in this market, and you are one of those pillars. And I'm not just saying this because I love you as a friend. I mean this as someone who is a diehard P1 sports radio talk listener. I don't know what the landscape would look like without Damon Bruce. You didn't grow up here, but you came here, and you made this your home, and you've carved out a niche unlike any of the other hosts in this market. You told us what you felt. You embraced this culture. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. We love you, and we really do. And I think that sometimes you got to sit back and smell the roses. Damon, if it weren't for you, think of how many different people wouldn't have been able to hear the Rabbi or Bob in San Jose. Or, you know, just any of the wacky, zany callers that you have, the official brother of the Damon Bruce Show, McBride, or myself. Like, I owe everything to you giving me a chance and befriending me. And it just, I just wanted to tell you on a day that I know means so much to you, on behalf of the Bay Area, on behalf of San Francisco, on behalf of sports talk in this market, thank you for everything you've done. I mean buddy.
First of all, you sold me the best prime rib I've ever had in my life. So right there, we were going to be instant friends forever. Thank you very much. I'll tell you, when I came out here, you were the first guy who called into my show that I leaned over and hit that talk back button to my producer. And I said, I hope he calls back. And he's like, yeah, don't worry, he will. thank you so much. And all I can tell you is that playing just the smallest itty-bitty role in your opportunity is something that's going to tickle me pink to the end of time. It's like, I got a good ear. I know it when I hear it. And thank you so very much for proving me right and being a loyal listener and then a colleague, a friend, everything in between. It means an awful lot. Thank you very much, man. I do appreciate that.
Well, you know, I mean, look, I mean, Ralph and Gary Radnich, those guys were kind of already here. Pete Franklin came here and created the genre, and other people ran with it. You didn't grow up here, but you came here and you soaked in the environment, married a San Francisco girl, bought a home in the city. You made this your home. That's the true San Francisco story. Trying to find gold and making this your home and embracing everything about it and still keeping the essence of what makes you Damon Bruce. So I don't want to slurp you any more than I need to, but I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I know Matt Kolsky. I know Ray's probably rolling his eyes, but deep down inside that rough exterior, Ray feels the same way. I don't know what Sports Talk Radio would be without you, but damn, I'm glad you're on our airwaves, and I'm glad that you've had a 15-year run. I want to cheers and toast you to another 35 years. I love you, D. Bruce.
Thank you very much. I need a 50, and I think I get like a free pizza if I do 50 years here on the air. So I'm going to try to do it. Thank you. Thank you very much, Butcher. That means an awful lot. Thank you. And that's where the we love you needs to end right there. We're not going to do that all day.
You put Joe on a morning show for 2 weeks, and he starts drinking at 2 in the afternoon. You know
I love it. I mean, hey, it's a happy hour. It's a Friday. Get excited. I hope Kate's drinking. I hope Bonte's drinking. But I was thinking about, you know, I've seen something from Butcher, and I got a note from Kerry Keating earlier today. We're going to talk about the Bill Belichick coaching tree bearing no fruit. The Damon Bruce broadcasting tree is officially starting to bear some fruit. We got Butcher Boy doing a morning
show. He's your Brian Flores?
Without a doubt. No, here's the thing. Yeah, he's my Brian Flores because the future is bright. Who is my Bill O'Brien? Ugh.
Yikes.
Who wants to be my
We probably Bill? Don't want to talk about it.
No. But look, Kerry Keating is someone who I'm like, God, I really like this guy. Let's do some radio with him. And now he's doing television for ABC. You watch him after NBA Finals games with Larry Beal. And I'd like to think that I was like, hey, let's talk to him. And Tommy Call, our very own Tommy Call here
at the
station.
Great Tommy Call.
An intern. It was a guy who just DM'd me 5, 6, 7 years ago, said, hey, what are you doing?
Gives me a great opportunity to plug Tommy Call's new podcast, which is also my new podcast.
What?
Yeah, it's called Playbreakers. And Tommy Call, since you plucked him out of infamy as an intern, has gone to like actual football scout school and like actually knows how to break down X's and O's on football plays. So we're just doing a little audio breakdown of some of his favorite plays from the Niners game. And I just sort of sit there and marvel at his expertise.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's great. I'm glad. Like
957thegame.com.
I love it when people get their foot in the door and then they're like, let me show you what I can really do. And over, I've found people who that when you care about this and you get an opportunity, if you really run with it, you stand out like a sore thumb. Because the amount of people who get the opportunity and then just don't do much with it, I mean, there are lines full of people like that. To get here to stand out and really do something, I appreciate everyone who does it. I remember when I was talking once with Jay Moore, a comedian, and I was like, so what comedians do you really like and what comedians don't you like? You know, I'm looking for all the little dirt, and he was basically telling me, anyone who's got the balls to get up on that stage and do it is all right by me. And that's how I feel about just about anybody who tries to get a career in broadcasting, whether it's on a big radio station, a small one, a podcast that millions of people are downloading, or just your parents are listening to. The fact that you got the guts to go out there and put yourself out there and do it, that to me attracts me to people. That's the part of people that I like, and those are the people that become my friends along with being colleagues, and we're going to walk through life together. So it's thinking of all the sports in this town, and that little old me has played just a teensy weensy eensy, the smallest possible bottom rung of fame and show business on the ladder, but just a small part of it. It's been an honor. It's an awful lot of fun, and the longer I keep doing this, I'm sure I don't actually ever have to go and get a real job. So that's why I want to keep doing this for as long as humanly possible. Ray, I'm sure that writing about sports sounded an awful lot better to you than actually like having a vocation where you had to punch a clock. And that's why you do what you do.
Yeah, I'm really irked that you guys ate up all the time for rebuttal. I really thought I had a shot to argue against this.
You wanted to rant back against Joe? That would have been interesting.
Oh, no, there was no chance of that. I mean, I think when he speaks, his ears close. He's on a roll. You let him go on a roll.
Yeah, just let
no,
him go.
No, I have never done an honest day's work. I freely admit that. I mean, I'm a weasel.
I've said this many times. I might never be a millionaire, but I'll never meet a millionaire who didn't wish he had my work day. It's the best. What do you do? Well, I shower or I don't, or I put on a new t-shirt or I don't, and I go downstairs and I talk sports for 4 hours and then I go and have dinner. That's what I get to do.
And at the end of it, and every 2 weeks, magically, they put a tiny bit of money in my bank account.
It's amazing. It's actually amazing. It's one of the rare jobs where if you hit the Powerball, would you show up to work? Yeah, 2 o'clock Monday. I could become a billionaire this weekend, and I'll be here 2 o'clock on Monday. Well, maybe 3 o'clock on Monday. I might stroll in.
But you got to flex if you got a billion.
You really ought to be wearing a ski mask.
Totally. Look, I hope you are planning on wearing a mask with me for an awful long time because you guys are now my partners in crime. And look, this is such a weird show. I honestly don't know if our show works, doesn't work, isn't working, is working all the time. It's the weirdest show ever built together. The three of us, I don't know how we fit together. I don't think anyone in the audience really knows how we fit together, but nobody can deny that we actually do. It's really weird. There's nothing about this that should work, but it does. And that's the beauty of broadcasting and radio and live. Is this art? It's definitely not art, but it's an art form. It's a broadcast form. You never know what's going to happen during a damn show.
It's only people like you and me that like to fool ourselves into thinking it's an art form. Ray is going to reject that out of hand. I guarantee it.
No, I think it doesn't matter that the show works or doesn't work. What's important is that none of us work.
and on that note, welcome everybody to your 3 o'clock hour.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
Look, we got an awful lot more football coming up, an awful lot more NFL this afternoon, and we're going to take a little look at the Big Ten, baby. It's back. Am I supposed to be excited? My body says yes, my mind says no, but we'll have that a little bit later on. I want to talk a little Warriors basketball here because we got things happening that officially weren't happening just a day or two ago. Marcus Thompson had a pretty good piece in The Athletic today about the small traveling party of Joe Lacob, Bob Myers, Steve Kerr, and Director of Sports Medicine and Performance Rick Celebrini. They're out looking at potential draft picks. In Atlanta, just yesterday, they worked out Danny Advia, and he is probably not really being considered for the number two pick in the draft, but two other guys that they talked absolutely will be. Anthony Edwards and James Wiseman have also sat down with the Warriors' decision makers, and they had a workout. They described him, both players, as beast-like. They were very impressed, I guess, with what both guys brought to the mix. Marcus Thompson says, I'll put them in alphabetical order so no one gets ahead of theirself. Word out of the workouts is that both of them were, quote, beasts. Wiseman is big and skilled as advertised. They also like when they had their conversation or interview with him, whatever it was. Edwards' exceptional athleticism jumped out in person. He seemed to really impress the Warriors with his freakishness. He must have done something that they really, really liked. For a team to be open about the need for more size for athleticism, it sounds like they'd be fine with maybe either of these players, depending on what Minnesota does ahead of them at number one. But, you know, one of these players is going to be available. Ball is still a guy that they, I guess, are going to talk to at some point in time here. LaMelo Ball, he could maybe go number one overall. But of the names that we're just talking about, Edwards, Wiseman, and Ball, the Warriors will be talking to all three. And, you know, whether it's a traded player, whether this is smokescreen, whether here's the thing. Nobody knows what it's going to be, but it's officially about to happen. Like, the wheels are in motion, And this is going to go from a theoretical conversation to an actual here's what's going on. And it's going to be the single biggest fork in the road as to keeping the championship window opening or watching it close faster than anyone expected.
Well, the other thing that happened today that does definitely impact the Warriors is there's now talk among the Board of Governors, the 30 owners who basically run this league, about being adamant about starting on Christmas Day, which means that all of a sudden, all these decisions are being sort of crushed into a small, we got to get this guy in here. He's got to learn to do all these things, you know, by the time, you know, the trees go up. And I don't know if that necessarily helps them make a draft judgment or whether it hastens their willingness to get rid of the pick. But Anthony Slater of The Athletic suggests.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.